any idea on what that may be? And that is, I'll get an answer to that question. That is forgiveness. All right, it'd be very difficult for us to forgive somebody at times for the things that may take place in our lives. All right, sometimes we try to justify that. You don't know what that person's done to me or so forth and so on. But does God want his children to be those who forgive others? God does. He wants us to be those who will forgive others, our brothers and sisters, those who have caused offense or trespass against us. God wants us to forgive our brothers and sisters. So this is the subject here we're talking about this morning. It is on forgiveness. All right, talking about forgiveness. So what is the definition of forgiving, of being forgiven? All right, it means to send away. All right, that is your literally the definition means to send away. All right, also meaning that to let go or to give up or to loose, release, or to pardon. All right, also speaks of divorce there also. But those are some of that you have there of the meaning there of forgiveness. To send away, let go, give up, loose, release, or pardon. We understand pardon. There were some folks here recently that was pardoned, all right? Where were they sent away from? Where were they let go of? Where were they loosened from or released from? They were released from prison, sent away from prison. They were forgiven of that debt that they owed to society, per se. They were let go. All right, we're familiar with that as being pardoned. So also we're looking at forgiveness. It means to harbor no bitter feelings or malice towards someone. All right, holding no resentment against someone. It means not to treat someone unkindly or indifferent to somebody. All right, it's from off online. I got a definition here. It says stop feeling angry or resentment towards someone for an offense, a flaw, or a mistake. And for us, we know that would be for one that sinned against us. It means to grant relief from, payment, to counsel, and that is a debt. All right, so when we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about sending away, harboring no bitter feelings against somebody, not holding any resentment against somebody, but allowing that to be let go from us. All right, so we have some everyday examples. Let's say you come home from work and you drive up and you find out that the front window of your home is busted. Somebody broke your front window. All right, you go in the house, you find a little baseball on the floor. It has initials TJ on there. And you come to realize maybe this is little Tony Jeff from down the street. So you take that baseball, you get in your car, you go down to your neighbor's house and you talk to Tony's parents. And then they call little Tony off in there, and little Tony's got his head down. He's like, Tony, this is your ball. Why he didn't tell us that you broke, you know, such and such window? And little Tony says, you know, I was afraid, and I'm sorry. Would you be able to forgive little Tony? I think we would, especially if the parents paid for the window. Probably be, okay, I'll forgive little Tony. Okay, just an accident he had or fooling around. Say you went to the grocery store. You parked your car. You went into the grocery store, bought your groceries. You came back. You looked at your driver's side door. And you have a red mark on the side of your nice silver car. And then you look to the car next to you, and that red car has a silver mark right on the door. So you wait till the person comes back out of the store that owns the car, and then you bring it to their attention that you have a mark on your door. And the person says, you know, it's probably my kids got out, opened the door too wide, scratched your car. I'm sorry, I'll take care of it, I'll pay for that for you. Would you be able to forgive that person? You probably forgive them, they're taking care of the problem. Probably accident, kids, and things happen. All right? Let's take it a little more serious. Another step there. What if your spouse, your husband, your wife, was unfaithful to you? All right? And they were caught being unfaithful to you. And then they said, you know, you're absolutely right. I did what was wrong. Honey, I'm sorry. And they were asking you to forgive them. Would you be able to forgive them? Hopefully we would. That's a tough one. But hopefully we will be able to forgive that person and for the wrong that they've done. Let's take it into the church. What if you have a brother or sister who you have been confiding in, telling certain things to, and that brother and sister let others know in the congregation on what was going on with you in your life, all right? And then you find out and you approach that brother or sister about that, and that brother and sister said, I'm so sorry, you're absolutely right. I've been gossiping, telling things that I shouldn't tell you. Can you forgive me? Would you be able to forgive that brother and sister? I see one head nod. Sister Barbara would be able, everybody else, I don't know. But as they see how the situations could get tougher about forgiving someone. Let's say here we at the church here, and we plan on saving them some money to get a bigger building. And then we find out that the minister, he's been stealing money, and he's been funding his own business with the money. And when it's time for us to take that money and build a building, we find out that he spent all that money. And then he comes and he tells us that, yeah, he's been doing wrong. He's been stealing money, and he asks us to forgive him. We'll be able to forgive him. That'd be real tough. Those are real tough situations that I wanted to bring to us from the lesser to the greater to help us understand sometimes it'd be real hard to forgive others for certain things that they have done. But what is the response that God wants us to have? God wants us to forgive our brothers and sisters for those things. All right, so that's what we want to look at. Let us look at Matthew chapter 6. Let's see here what Jesus had to say about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6 here. Matthew chapter 6. And we're looking at verse number 12 here. And we notice Jesus here, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching his disciples on how to pray. We're looking at the model prayer here. And this is where we see Jesus teaching his disciples here about prayer or how to pray. And he says here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 12, he says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." All right, so Jesus says, "And forgive us our what? Our debts." You see debts there? All right, so we see Jesus says about debt. Anybody know anything about debt? Anybody know about some debt? Anybody know anything about debt? You know, debt, we're familiar with debt. Brother David's owe me $5. We know about debt. All right, we know about debt, and that's sometimes what we get into debt is what we cannot pay. It's something that we continue to pay toward to if we are in debt. We keep on paying towards that debt. So Jesus here is to use the church word here about debt, that which we owe. All right, and here what Jesus is talking about, we know he's talking about sin, talking about the debt of sin, that sin that we continue to sin, and the debt that we need to continue to have be forgiven for of that sin. All right, so talking about debt, forgive us of our debt. All right, any of us here sinned? Do we sin? As even as the child of God, we continue to sin. Scripture lets us know that we all have sinned, right? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Scripture says, we say we have no sin, then we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. So we know that we've all have sinned. All right? We all have this debt that we have that we need to take care of through God and what he has said for us to do to take care of that sin. So can any of us pay for the sin that we have? Anything can we do of our own power to take care of that sin? That we have that debt of sin. There's nothing that we can do on our own power to have our sins remitted or be taken away from us. How can we have those sins taken away from us? That is only through obeying the gospel, right? Being baptized. Why tarryeth thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So we know it's only through baptism that we can have our sins washed away. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. As the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in him, speaking of Christ, we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the richness of God's grace. So it's showing us that God is good, and in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We have been brought back for the sins that we have committed, and it is through his blood, through what Jesus has done for us there, giving up his life that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. And we know this. We have songs that we sing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? We know that we have those songs that we sing. We also sing a song, he paid the debt he did not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. All right, I needed someone to wash my sins away. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. So in order to have our sins forgiven, his great debt that we have, we have to come to Jesus. We have to come to Jesus to have our sins forgiven, that debt wiped away. But we know even after that, we continue to sin. And that's why we continue to go to Jesus. We continue to ask God to forgive us of our sins. And we know that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us from all unrighteousness if we continue to walk in the light of God's word. So we continue to need to have this great debt that we have from initial debt, coming to God, obeying the gospel, and continue to have our sins pardoned from us as we continue to walk in the light, continue to stay in step with God, continue to ask God to forgive us of our sins. But what if we never come to God and we never have those sins forgiven? So what the Bible tells us, that the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. All right? The wages of sin. We know about wages when you go to work. All right, you're going to earn wages. That's what you earn. You go there, you go to work, and you work there 40 hours out of a week. At the end of that week, or if it's bi-weekly, you're looking for a paycheck. You're looking for those wages that you earn. Right? So what we're talking about, wages of sin here, you keep continuing in your sin, what you're going to earn is death. All right? You got to have that sin problem dealt with. And the only way we can do that, as we said, we got to come to Jesus. We got to come into the contact with the blood of Jesus so we can have those sins washed away. Continually coming to Christ that we might have our sins washed away. So it also tells us here that the wages of sin is death. And when we're talking about death, we're talking about spiritual death. Not talking about physical death. We're all going to die one way or another. Unless Jesus comes back, we're all going to suffer physical death. So we're talking about the wages of sin is death. We're talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death is that where we are separated from God. All right, because of our sins, separate us from God. We don't want that. And God has made a way for us not to be separated from Him. And that's why the rest of the verse says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How is that possible? It is through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we can come to Jesus that we might have eternal life, that our sins could be washed away, that we might have the forgiveness of the debt that we have. So the only way that we can have that forgiveness of our sins, we must trust and obey God to have our sins forgiven. So Jesus says there in verse 12, and forgive us our debts, the great debt that we have, as He taught to His disciples. All right, but there is also a condition there. All right, look at verse 12. He says, as we forgive our debtors. So we see the condition that we have. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. All right, some translations say, as we have already forgiven our debtors. What does that mean? It means that we need to be those who have a spirit of forgiving, that we're always willing and ready to forgive those who repent when they sin against us. All right? Times that can be very tough, but we have to be those that will do what thus says the Lord. All right? We'll see why God has given us, see why God is asking us to do those things. So we must also look at that condition, that we also must forgive those who have sinned against us and have repented. That we're always willing and ready to forgive them. Let us look and turn our Bibles to one of our brothers that had a question there about forgiveness. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to look at Brother Peter here. And he asked for the Lord a question at one time about forgiveness. We're looking at Matthew chapter 18. We want to look here and start in verse 21. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Matthew 18:21. And it reads here, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? So we see here Peter, he's coming to the Lord. And he's asking him, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother that sinned against me? Seven times. Is seven times enough? It's coming to him and he's asking the Lord about how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Is it seven times? So Peter wants to know, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? All right. He says seven times. In teaching of the rabbis, the Jewish traditions and teaching, they taught that three times was enough to forgive someone. And they draw, they've taken that from drawing from Old Testament passages such as Job and such as in Amos. So the traditional Jewish teaching there that Peter might be referring to here is that it was three times that you had to forgive someone. So what Peter's saying is in seven times, asking the Lord seven times, he may be generous and going over those three times and saying seven times, Lord, is that enough for me to forgive my brother? Do I have to forgive him seven times? Is that enough? What did Jesus tell Peter? Let's look at verse number 22. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Jesus says, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. What is Jesus doing here? Is he teaching math? Is he giving Peter a math lesson here? Oh, the Lord is not teaching math. The Lord is teaching what he always teaches. Teaching mercy and love is what he teaches here to Peter. He's not saying once you forgive somebody 490 times that you can go ahead and stop forgiving someone. What Jesus is talking about in 70 times 7, he's talking about there is no limit to your forgiveness. He's telling you, let your limit and your forgiveness be without limit. Continue to forgive your brother. As many times as your brother sinned against you and he comes and asks you to forgive him and he repents, then we are to forgive our brother. Let's hold our finger here at Matthew's chapter 18, and let's take a look at Luke chapter 17. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Okay, Luke chapter 17, and we're looking here at verses 3 and 4. And Jesus says here, so watch yourselves. If your brother or your sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in the day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. See what Jesus says? All right, your brother sins against you, however many times it is, he comes to you, he repents, truly repents there, then we are to forgive him. Do you see that forgiveness is a command of God? All right, Jesus says that we must forgive him, that we must forgive them if they repent, even though they might sin against us seven times in the day and come back and say, I repent. You must forgive them. So Jesus telling Peter 70 times 7, he meaning countless times. Let your forgiveness be without limit. So Jesus taught his disciples to always exercise forgiveness, to always be in attitude or have a forgiving spirit against those who trespass against us or sin against us, that we want to be those that always will forgive them for what they have done against us. Let's turn back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew. And then Jesus, being the master teacher, he now tells us a parable about forgiveness, about the unforgiving here servant. And what he's doing here, he's going off of what Peter has asked and telling them to let your forgiveness be without limit. He's going to now tell them a parable here. Let's take a look at this parable. We're in Matthew chapter 18, and we're looking at verse 23. And this is the parable here of the unforgiving servant here. Verse 23. It says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that they had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So we have here a king here, and he's getting ready to go over his servant's accounts and seeing what his servants owe him. And then one of his servants was brought into him, and it says that his servant owed him 10,000 talents. All right, he owed him 10,000 talents. I believe looking into it, it says that one talent would take you 20 years' wages to pay. Talking about one talent. Right, if that's the case, this man owes 10,000 talents. This man owes a debt that he will never be able to pay in several lifetimes. That's like us owing millions of dollars to someone. So this man owes an enormous amount to his king. Big time amount of money that he owes to his king. What does his king say to him? He says here in verse 25, it says, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. He said, you're going to be sold. your wife going to be sold, and your children is going to be sold, and you're going to have to work off this debt. So in that day and time, biblical times, they had it where you would actually be sold yourself into slavery so that you may be able to repay somebody in the debt. So now, because of this man's actions, not just he has to go to work, but you got to have your wife got to go to work, and your children got to go to work to pay off this great debt that you owe this man, all right, the king. Could you imagine that? All this money. Now I got to go tell my wife, honey, you got to go to work for the rest of your life. And then I got to go tell my children. I know you want to play baseball, son, but you got to go to work. And you got to go for the rest of your life. Honey, I know you wanted to go and do, but baby, you got to go to work. And you're going to have to go to work. Could you imagine that? You owe so much money that you and your family have to go and work for somebody for the rest of your life. This is how much this man owed to his king, his master. And let's see what happened here in verse 26 here. He says, then the servant fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I pay it all. Then the Lord of that servant, he was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave his debt. You see how great this king was? He's a great king. Said the king had compassion on him. He was moved with compassion. He felt for him. Knew he would never be able to pay this. And knew that he was going to have his wife, his children go to work. This king had great compassion on his servant. And he said here that he was loosed him. Wasn't that part of your definition of forgiveness? He loosed him. He let him go and forgave him that great debt that he owed. All right, so you see there what took place here in the compassion here of that king. What do you think this servant would do after that? Don't you think he'd have ran and hugged the king and ran out of the temple or the castle, wherever he was, and ran out and was jumping for joy and told all the townspeople how great the king was. King forgave me this great debt. He's such a wonderful king. Look what he has done for me. Don't you think that's what this guy would have done here, the servant? All right, what did he do? Let's look at his actions here. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. All right, so we see that he didn't go out in such a merry way and go out and, you know, just so thankful to the king and go out and tell the people of the kingdom how great the king was and what he has done for him. No, he went out, and what did he do? Scripture said that the same servant went out. Seemed like he left there, and he went right looking for the person, a fellow servant that owed him a certain amount of money. He said he found that fellow servant, which owed him how much? It says 100 pence. All right, some say denarii. So it's telling us here he owes 100 pence. And 100 pence was 100 days pay that this man owed. So you have to work 100 days to be able to pay this man. The pence was a day labor. All right, what you would earn in a day. So it would take this man 100 days to be able to pay this servant here what he owed him. All right. So that's still a significant amount of money, right? It's 100 days of work or wages that you would have to pay, work to pay this person here. That's still a significant amount of money. But it's nothing compared to the enormous amount that the king forgave this servant here that went out and choked his fellow servant here. So he had a rage, he was in anger, and he choked the man. So what did this servant fail to do? This servant here, he failed to show compassion. He failed to show the same compassion that his king, his master, showed to him. All right, he was not like his master, being compassionate and kind and forgiving and merciful and releasing the debt of his fellow servant. He went out in rage. And he choked his servant and said, you pay me everything you owe. And he had this man sent to prison, wherever it was, to pay his debt. He had to go out and work as a slave to pay this debt that he owed. So he failed to show the same compassion and mercy and kindness that his king showed to him, which he should have done. So we see here that this man did total opposite of what he should have done. And, you know, when I thought about this, I thought about, like, I thought about blind rage. I don't know if you ever thought about that, like blind rage. So it was like the king did something great for him, but in his anger, he totally, I guess, forgot what the king had done for him. He was totally blind to what the king had done for him. He was in such a rage and such anger that what this fellow had not paid him what he owed. So this is what was going on. What I thought about that blind rage. I thought about maybe this fellow had the money that he had to get the money to pay the king. Something went wrong off in there. And now he's so hot or angry. I don't know what. We see he didn't show the same compassion that he should have. Let's continue on. Verse 31 and 32. It says, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sore and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So we see here this fellow servant here, word got back to the king what had taken place. This servant was brought back before the king. And what did the king call him? He called him a wicked servant. He called him, O thou wicked servant. And the king reminded him of what he had done for him. He said, I forgave thee all that debt that thou desired me. Should not thou have had compassion on that fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? So that fellow servant came and fell down before the servant that was owed so much money. The other servant came and fell down before him, and he asked for patience, and he would pay it all. But we see that he didn't. It was the same words that this man used before the king, and he did not have that compassion. So we see here, it seems here that the king also had a great expectation of the servant. And we see that in verse 33. Look at verse 33. The king says, shouldn't not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? All right. So the king had an expectation of his servant. I expect you to go out and be merciful and kind to others, just as I was kind to you. I forgave you of this great debt that you could never pay. You should have went out and did the same. You should have went out when your fellow servant, you should have had the same mercy, you should have had the same compassion, should have had the same kindness that I showed to you, and forgave your servant of this small debt that he owed unto you. Why didn't you do that? So his king had a great expectation of him. And because he didn't do that, his king called him a wicked servant, and he was thrown into where the tormentors were and had to work that out until he paid the whole debt that was due, which was said there. All right. So now Jesus makes an application of that here in the parable in verse number 35. Let's look at here for application for us as well. Verse 35, he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not one of his brothers their trespasses. So you see that? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, that's unto those who do not forgive their brother, if you do not from your heart forgive not every one of their brothers that trespass against them. So you see with the message here? All right. Our King, God, has forgiven us of a great debt. All right. A great debt that we owe. He has given us forgiveness. And we also should show forgiveness unto our brother as well when they trespass or sin against us. If a brother comes and sins against you 7 times in a day, and he comes and he repents, we ought to forgive him. We must forgive him. And that's the same we see that we are being like our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, our God and Father, which art in heaven. All right. So at times also we understand that forgiveness is also for us as well. Forgiveness is for us as well, because sometimes we are holding forgiveness from someone, and that is eating us alive at times. All right. person that has wronged us, they're not thinking about what we're doing. They're having a good old time, partying, eating, whatever they're doing, but we hold it in our hearts, but we will not forget that person. That person is not thinking about us at all. You have a person, they say, hey, grandma's having a Christmas dinner, let's go to grandma's house and let's go and visit grandma, and the family going to be there. And you got one relative, if Helen over there, I ain't going. Yeah, for real, is there Helen over there? I'm not going. You're not going? Grandma going to be really upset. You sure you're not going? Nope, Helen over there, I'm not going. He said, you still holding on to that grudge from Helen that happened 20 years ago? I'm not going. Some people hold on to grudges until they die. They will not let it go. And you know what the problem is? That separates them from Helen. That may be their friend, their family, their loved one, but they won't come together because of this grudge, this hatred they got, this resentment that they got. They will not come together. And it doesn't just separate them from Helen. Guess what it also does? It separates them from other people. They won't even go see grandma because Helen over there. They holding that grudge in their heart all the way to their grave sometimes, and they will not let go. And they just can't stand Helen. They can't stand the sight of Helen. They can't stand, don't even mention Helen, and I'm upset about it. Sometimes we hold that in our hearts, and that eats away at us. What is Helen doing? Helen at the party, eating up, had a good time, sitting right up under grandma, talking. Helen ain't even thinking about you. But you over there boiling about Helen, and she not even thinking about you. We give people power over us that we should not give to them. We should be those that's willing to forgive. And once we give, release that, we can be able to make amends with Helen if Helen is willing to forgive and be one that is repenting of what she has done. Helen probably will say, that happened so long ago, and I ain't worried about it. I love you and probably embrace you and y'all have a good time. But because you continue to hold that, that holds you from coming together with other people. And also it will be, thought would help you, hold you back from coming together with your own family. So how do we be so merciful as God wants us to be? How do we be those that will be forgiving as God wants us to be? Let us look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Colossians 3 and 12. Book of Colossians, chapter 3, and verse number 12. So, remember, how do we be so merciful? How do we learn to forgive? Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So how do we be merciful? How do we learn to forgive as God has forgiven us? To me, it's by remembering. All right, one thing we need to remember, what God had, first of all, who you are. As we look in verse 12, it says, God chosen people, holy, dearly loved. We are those that are chosen by God. We are those who are holy, set apart for God, and we are the dearly loved of God. All right, we are God's people. So one way that we learn how to be merciful, one way to learn how to forgive is to remember who we are. We are God's people, his children. Then also, we want to remember what God has done for us, or what we are to do for each other. I'm sorry. It says here, we need to be, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I thought about, you know, forgiveness. To me, those are certain things that you need to have when you're dealing with forgiveness. You got to be compassion. That's what the king was to the servants. It's compassion. That's kindness, too, showing us kindness. And also one of the big ones. Humility. You got to have humility to be able to be those that forgive people. Being gentle and also being patient with others as well. So we also need to remember what God has called us to do. And as in verse 13 says, bear with each other, all right, and forgive one another, all right, if anyone have any grievance against you. So we need to be those who will always be willing to forgive one another, those that have grievance against us. And also, how do we be merciful? How do we learn to forgive? Especially, we need to be reminded of what Christ has done for us. That always brings us back to where we need to be. That's why when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're putting our mind back on what the Lord has done for us, how he has also forgiven us for our sins, our great debt. And that's why we have worship, and it's so important. That just shows you how wise God is, and he knows what we need in our life. It helps us to draw back to where God wants us to be, and that is to remember Jesus on the cross and to remember that Jesus died and gave his life for us that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. So we also need to always remember what Christ has done for us. At the end there of verse 13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have any grievance against someone. Then he says, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. We have to remember that God has forgiven us a great debt. Jesus has died on the cross for all of us. And he says, and overall, these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. To bring all this together, we need to have love. All right, that love is going to bring it all together there. As God's holy people, is the compassion and the kindness that we need, and humility, and to be able to bear one another and forgive one another, and to remember what the Lord has done for us, we all need to have that love that's going to bring it all together, just as the Lord wants us to do and has commanded us to do, to forgive. Right? So to understand forgiveness is to understand the love of God, the mercy of God, and it helps us to be transformed to be more like God. God is a forgiving God. All right, God's children are to be forgiving people. And when we forgive as God has commanded us to forgive, it helps us to be more like God, where God wants us to be. Let us look at Psalms chapter 86. And then we'll be closing here. Psalms chapter 86. Psalms chapter 86. And looking here at verse number 5. Psalms 86 and verse 5. It says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. But thou, O Lord, art a God of full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Did you see that God is good and that he is, certain translations say, ready to forgive. All right, God is ready to forgive. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. He's always ready to forgive those who will come, repent, and ask God to forgive them and give their life to him. God is ready. He's waiting. He's open with his arms, waiting for you to come to him, and that he will forgive you. All right, he is a God that is ready to forgive. It says he's plenteous in mercy. It's just showing how good God is and how merciful God is unto all them that do what? Call upon him. All those that call upon the Lord, God is ready to give them mercy. He's ready to extend his compassion and also his forgiveness. Verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. God is a forgiving God. God's people are to be forgiving people. So what's the whole purpose of forgiveness? What is the purpose? Why does God want us to forgive? For one, to be like him as God, and also the purpose of forgiveness is unity. All right? Bringing God's people back together to one another. That is reconciling man back to man and man unto God. All right? So this is the purpose of forgiveness is unity, is restoring relationships, is reconciling man unto man and man unto God. All right, the purpose of forgiveness is salvation. God wants all men to be saved. When we don't forgive each other, we divide it. Who wants that? Satan does. God wants us to be as one. He wants his people to be as one. So if anyone here, we have any hate in our heart, resentment towards anyone, all right, and we won't forgive them, something's wrong with us. And we need to be looking at Jesus and be reminded of what he has done for us, that we might have the one that be one that has a forgiving heart, always want to forgive our brothers and sisters, that we may be together as a family, be united as one as God wants us to be. He said, the times will be tough, but we got to stay focused on what